Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from California, Deuce McAllister, who covered today's practice session. I think it's number 17. Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We already broke the bad news, you know, back-to-back within 36 hours.
Impactful players.
Yeah, that Matt Judon.
Our enemy side.
And so. Justin Simmons lands in Atlanta. And you got other news. I don't know how bad it is, but kind of tell us a little bit about the injury with Fuaga, which seemed to be, from what Dennis Allen was talking about, back problem.
Well, one, is the Simmons news confirmed?
Confirmed.
Confirm about a half an hour ago,
yeah,
I think.
Confirm.
Yeah, I see it now. All right, well, hey, you know, hats off to him. I thought he was a player that could step in and help the Saints. But here's the thing also, if you're being honest with it, I think the Saints defense should be okay even without Justin Simmons. Justin Simmons would have allowed you to probably save one roster spot. If you're looking at it from a personnel standpoint of how they're using their safeties, and you know, Atlanta obviously got better with Judon and Simmons. So, you know, for the Saints, there was a number that they were willing to go, and if it was over that number, or even a year standpoint, I don't know how much more they wanted to move off of that number or years. Kind of a situation, so you'll have to face him twice a year, and you'll go from there. I mean, that's all you really can do at this point.
Well, Deuce, right now, would you agree with this? And I, no matter who's better or the perception, the Saints are better than the Falcons or vice versa, I always look at it. It's hard to sweep a team. I don't care how good they are. We got to win one game. We got to win one of the two. And, you know, Tampa Bay, you win one of the two. Then you got to
beat Carolina twice.
Right. Then you're 4-2, and you have a chance for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you always think that you can win at home. You like your odds better at home, and to go on the road, you know, it's always probably going to be a 50-50 type of situation when you go on the road. But it's hard to win both games, but I agree with you 100%. You got to beat Carolina twice, and then, you know, if you can split and even beat one of the other opponent twice, then, you know, that sets you up as far as for winning the division. No doubt about it. I mean, but it is hard to beat any team, you know, multiple times in a year just because you are so familiar with them and the personnel. And, you know, a lot of it also depends on when you play a team, who's healthy and who's not available. And is the team in the race? Are they looking forward to the next year, et cetera? So all that comes into place. So,
yeah.
But the Fuaga situation.
So, Deuce, when you say a back, that's kind of generic. Oh, my back. I mean, there's a lot of different things that can go wrong with your back. You know that. You could be a normal citizen. If your back's hurting, that's
you
not good.
You wake up in the morning, your back hurts. Yeah.
When you old like us three, your back hurts.
I'll
tell you that. He spoke to the reporters yesterday. He spoke to us yesterday, and you know, he was in a pretty good. I think that was yesterday. If it wasn't yesterday, it was the day before yesterday. But anyway, we just talked to him. The days kind of run together. We just talked to him. He was out at practice. He actually went in right after stretch, etc., with the trainer, and you know that's all you're really going to get. You know, I can't say that it was a weightlifting injury. It may have been something that he strained lifting weights. I'm not sure, but he was able to come out to practice. He was prepared to practice, and then he had to go in, and you know, it was just a back tightness situation. It wasn't there was no contact that had happened since yesterday as far as him hitting, you know, whether you're talking about hitting a sled, hitting another player, you know, maybe an injury in that form, there was nothing that had happened like that. And so for the Saints, I think obviously they're going to take every precaution in that situation. And, you know, if it's tightness in the back, hey, let's see how loose we can get it. And, you know, we'll stretch it, we'll ice it, we'll heat it, and then see how you feel in a couple of hours. So obviously we hadn't had a long history with him. You know, when you talk about like Alvin's situation, this is something that has popped up on Alvin before. So you kind of know how you want to treat it. This is a situation the first time with Fuaga. And so it's kind of them making sure that he is good before he returns to the field of play.
Now, Deuce, I was looking. Obviously, you want to be ready to roll week one against Carolina. So Fuaga, they want him. Not necessarily to fight through this. It doesn't count. The game comes Sunday night against the 49ers. And I was looking at the depth chart, how they have it. Would then Landon Young start opposite of Trevor Penning, or and then Jesse Davis getting work? What is your take on that if Fuaga can't go?
Can't go win.
On right Sunday night. No. Talk about Sunday night.
On Sunday, I think it would be Landon. I think it would be Landon. I think it happened so late in practice, or as far as it didn't happen – it didn't happen last night, so it wasn't like I could get another player outside of Landon ready to go. You know, let's just say another guy that they may have you talk about Jesse Davis.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if Jesse knew that Fuaga wasn't going to be available, you may have put him there, you know, with the ones just to see how he had done. Or even putting Udo there with the ones and just to see how he has done. Udo has played guard, you know, primarily during camp, but he has kicked out to tackle for some reps, you know, when guys have been banged up. But like I said, this happened so late in practice. It was literally while you're stretching. You know, and after stretch, it's like, hey, I got to go in with the trainer. Something's not right. And now from a coaching standpoint, you just go with the next veteran up. And so it wasn't like, hey, look, Landon, you're gonna go with the ones today because we know he's taking a vet day. Like Jamal Williams had a vet day today. And so the young backs, they kind of knew that before they even came out to practice. They knew that they would get an uptick in reps and, you know, I would be running with the ones and different things of that. You knew that in advance of practice. So today, with that situation, that wasn't the case. But if he is not able to go Sunday, I do expect that you will have that lineup of Landon at left tackle and, you know, Trevor
Jesse
will be
Davis
at the right.
Maybe? Or
well, yeah, he would be one of the backups. And then you could, like I said, you could always pop Udo out there at that tackle position. But, you know, at the right side, it would be Trevor Penning.
Now, Deuce, you know, you look quarterback competition, and Derek Carr is the starter. And then we all know Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler, the competition there. So, you know, it's like it's going to be after the 49ers game. What have you done for me lately? If they could build upon what they did in that Cardinals game on Saturday. But then now you're going against San Fran. You don't have that tape practicing against them. But it seems like Derek Carr has had a quality camp, like a really efficient camp as far as his accuracy. Is that a fair assessment? You know, because when you look at, like, what are you counting on, like, guys and, you know, as far as their individual ability or what's their skill set? That was one thing when you looked at even last year, that how accurate Derek Carr was. You know, I was looking at this completion percentage. Last year, for instance, now I don't think the 49ers might play a number of starters Sunday night, but whatever. Like, do you know Brock Purdy was fourth in completion percentage at 69.5? Derek Carr was sixth in the whole NFL at 68.5. So that's one thing. It seems like that Derek Carr finished the season. He was accurate, and that has transpired to me in even the OTAs and minicamp and in training camp, that Derek Carr has been accurate with the football.
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest thing is being able to move the football. I don't want to say settle for checkdowns, but I don't want to force it as well. And then in this offense particularly, the movement of the pocket is going to help him because, you know, if I get out on the edge in the perimeter, there are level throws, and Bobby, you know this. You've got the flat throw. You've got the 10 yard or
crossing,
15 yard. Yeah, the over route, and then you have the deep over.
Yeah.
Or on the outside, opposite of the field, you may have an alert all the way. You know, and it's hard to hit that alert throw, particularly if it's not going to be a post. But at the end of the day, I have some things in the bag that I can kind of get to as a quarterback, and it's just understanding from a defensive standpoint where my outlets are. And so this offense, it's built off the West Coast. It's not the vertical scheme that we've had in the past. There are vertical shots in it, but a lot of it's based off of the movement of the pocket, the movement, you know, you talk about play action, different things of that nature, and I think that's going to really help him. But, you know, for me, seeing this offense, seeing what they've been doing in camp and even OTAs, it starts with running the football. I mean, if Bobby, if they can't run the football or even have a threat of the run, then it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. And Deuce, looking come, you know, Jordan Mims had opportunity. You look how he ran the ball against the Cardinals. Jamal Williams, what do you think like Sunday night? I think Alvin, okay, we need Alvin ready to roll week one. But Kendra Miller, is it kind of still out of sight, out of mind? And it would still be more like 1-2 punch between Jamal Williams and Jordan Mims and maybe a little bit of Robinson or Kubota? How do you view that? Because I understand that, because we have to be able to run the ball and try and establish that, no matter who's in the game. I don't care if it's the second half, just these individuals to see who maybe they can trust.
Or yeah, James Robinson.
James Robinson would be in that mix, but I don't think that you get Alvin this weekend, particularly if he hadn't practiced, you know, pretty much all week. I don't think that you're going to throw him in there against San Francisco just to what are you proving? What are you proving? So you'll get Jamal, you'll get Mims, you'll get Kubota, Kubota, and then you'll get Robinson. Those will be the guys that carry it this weekend. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they threw some Taysom in there, you know, just to give them the look, just to put it on film, so teams have to kind of prepare for it. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be dependent on the backs seeing the hole, offensive line creating the space, and then from a tight end standpoint, tight ends being able to be the extension of the, you know, working with the fullback, offensive line, etc.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, Deuce, what would you say? Like, you look, wide receiver depth. To me, if you're the fourth receiver and the quarterback's throwing you the ball on that play, you're number one. I mean, I don't know, you're in the game and how they count on you. So we know Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed. So how do you view A.T. Perry or Cedric Wilson Jr.? Is it basically, it doesn't matter who's three or four, or if Cedric Wilson's three, A.T. Perry's four, A.T. Perry's three, Cedric Wilson Jr. is four? How do you view that as far as, and then you got St. Brown, he's been dealing with an injury, and then Bub Means. I mean, here's a guy, he showed good in the OTAs.
And then Mason Tipton.
Yeah, so then you got Tipton, and he also had an injury. How do you view that wide receiver room right now heading into the back end or the middle of the preseason?
Still looking. I mean, if I'm being honest, I'm still looking. I think Cedric has been probably the most consistent number three of the guys on the back end. You're looking for Bud. He made a play today, but you're looking for him to continue to stack some days just because he's missed so much time. You like him as a prospect, but at the end of the day, you know, is he honestly going to be one of your top four? Is he honestly going to be one of your top five? I think that's to be determined when you look at it from that standpoint. AT is dealing with the ankle injury, so, you know, he probably won't be available this weekend. And so the question becomes, has he done enough? I mean, and I know you can always go back and say, well, look what he did last year. He wasn't with this coaching staff.
Right.
It was a whole different offensive coaching staff. And so, yeah, my head coach can stand on the table and yell for him. My scouts and my, some of the guys that drafted him, they can stand on the table. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's got to be the OC's decision. It's going to be, you know, the wide receivers coach's decision on how they break that all down. And so, you know, that's probably still a question mark there. And so Mason Tipton was fantastic when he was there. But he hadn't been there.
He's hell
and
he's
so,
well.
And so he misses this week. Is he able to come back next week? Can he play? There's a window or gap of about, 7 to 10 days before you play again after that last preseason game until the first game. I mean, I think this – I'll put it this way. there's still some opportunity for a lot of guys to be able to qualify or make this team, whether it's receiver room, whether it's running back, whether it's, you know, you're probably looking for some depth at offensive line, defensive line. You're probably set fairly well, particularly if all those guys are healthy. Linebacker, you're looking probably set. You want some of them to get healthy. You want some of them to get healthy. And defensive back, to be honest, you're probably set. You can always look on the market to see if, hey, this player is clearly better than, you know, XYZ or who we have in already. But to be honest, you're probably set there. And the kicking situation, you know, they're going to let that play out how it is. And, you know, I think they like all four punters and kickers. You know, it's just feeling the most comfortable on who they think they can be the most consistent with.
Now, Deuce, I guess this is looking at the glass half empty instead of half full. But when you look at these two individual players, who would you be most disappointed in? Would it be Isaiah Foskey or Peyton Turner? Or is that a push? Is that because Peyton Turner's been here longer? Isaiah Foskey's maybe trying to get into the swing of things?
If I'm basing it off of expectation and where an individual was drafted, it's probably Peyton Turner. It's Peyton Turner. You know, he's been here a little bit longer, you know, and I think you're probably – it's a push up into the extent. But here's my problem with both of them. After seeing what I've seen, you know, like I said, over the last couple of years as well as during OTAs, it's not a talent issue, Bobby. It's not a talent issue. It's can you stay healthy? And so for Isaiah Foskey, he got a lot more snaps than Peyton Turner last week. And for what he had done.
He didn't even get a stat, though.
That's what I was about to tell you. It didn't transfer over to the game.
I'm like, come
on. What he did in camp leading up to the game, it didn't transfer for him.
Right.
But, I mean, when you go to practice, he's all over the field. He is making play after play after play. But when you got to the game, it didn't transfer. So if it takes him just going out and playing and not thinking about, well, oh, I false stepped. Oh, I didn't do something right here, and I hesitated. He's got to figure out how to let it loose. Peyton Turner, you are talented enough to play. You can make an impact in this league. Question is, one, are you going to get an opportunity? And two, are you healthy?
You got some bad toes.
Hey. Put steel toe in some cleats. Let me get a steel toe. Let me go get some iron. Let me go get a softener that I'm going to walk on, and let me go get steel toe. I've got to do something.
Right.
I've got to do something that I feel confident that I can go out there and show that, you know, I was worthy of the first round pick, you know, and I can play in this league because he can play. He can play.
Talent. Ain't no question about it.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to be healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Deuce.
And then I know you made the comment earlier. We are seeing Kendre work out with the trainers. That's more than it was the last couple of weeks. But, you know, Kendre, man, the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking because you can see the frustration. There's an opportunity for him. He's talented. He can play. Can't figure out how to stay healthy.
That ham should be cooked
by now. By now, that thing is baked and beyond.
I agree with you, but I can't tell you how he's feeling, and I can't tell you how he's moving, etc. I don't know those answers.
Deuce, one of the things early in training camp, certainly a lot of talk about a couple of guys on the offensive side, the football, as undrafted free agents, and Dallin Hoker at tight end, and then certainly Mason Tipton, the wide receiver from Yale. But you watch the game, the one guy on defense, and wouldn't have been on the dance card, Rico Payton from Pittsburgh State. And, you know, they went after him. And he was like, okay, keep throwing it my way, and I'll knock it down.
He had the highest Pro Football Focus grade, Deuce.
And so that's impressive to me when you see a young player out on the field. Okay, they test him a little bit, then they come back, and you could almost see the confidence growing in him. Okay, if you want to play that way, keep throwing it my way. But Rico Payton on the dance card, he wasn't high on the list. And you look at how he played against Arizona, again, a lot of it was against Desmond Ritter and Clayton Tune. But still, he was making plays in the secondary.
made some plays, but the reason he had the high snap count, my number one corner didn't play.
That's right.
my number two corner didn't play. And, you know, obviously you threw, as the coaches call him, they call him DeQuincy. They don't really call him Kool-Aid. They threw him in there, and then Alante Taylor has looked outstanding on the outside. But those young corners, they're going to get a chance to be able to go and showcase. And I expect the same thing for them this weekend. They're going to get a chance to play. They are going to get a chance to play just because I don't think that you'll have Adebo and I don't think that you'll have Lattimore this weekend. Now, I think that you will have them, obviously, the third game, and that'll be a question for the coaches of whether or not they throw them in there for a series or not. But, you know, they'll be ready to go during the regular season. But those young corners get a chance to make some plays. And here's the interesting thing. They have been going against the ones. And so yep. They've been going against Rashid. They've been going against Chris Olave. So you're not seeing – any better talent than what you go against in practice. And, you know, Rico Payton has made some plays.
And, you know, dudes, you know who's the most productive practice squad player to me and what he's actually done in preseason games is Nick Lelos. I mean, Joe Pott, all he does, I mean, I don't know, whoever he's going against, he gets sacks or tackles for a loss, quarterback Harry, he had a sack. What was the game last year? Didn't he have like three sacks?
He had three of them.
And then
yeah.
Now he got a sack, a quarterback Harry, a tackle for a loss. I mean, I'm looking again, I mean, that might be maybe his whole career out of Dartmouth. You know, he's a second-year veteran, but it's like he plays hard, practices hard. I mean, Deuce, as far as production, and it could be in the third or fourth quarter, might be in the Titans. I would say if he's in the game against the Titans,
he's going to make a play.
He's going to make a play. Yeah, right.
Well, here's what it tells you. The guys that he's going against, right. He's better than.
No question.
But when you get up to that next level,
right.
He's not quite there yet.
Yep,
whether
yep.
it's strength, whether it's speed, whether it's technique. You know, the guys that I'm going against that you're putting me out here with, oh, I'm better than these guys. I'm going to make a play. But then I go to that next tier where it's against the starters or guys that could spot play. I have to have everything perfect for me to be able to make a play. And so he's doing it the right way, though. I mean, he's working on the little things, getting better. But, I mean, when his number is called, he's making a play.
Well, all I know is I wish, like, Peyton Turner or Isaiah Foskey would be on the back end of the game and have that kind of production.
Well, Foskey was in the back end of the game, and he didn't do anything.
That's what I'm saying. Whatever.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it, bud.
No problem, fellas.
All right,
Deuce. Thanks so much. Saints radio color analyst Deuce McAllister.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.